tell for about three. How many people like to go to the library? Me. Well, that's where all my stories are from. They're from the 398.2s. They're mostly folk tales, and they're stories from other lands. This is a story from the Seneca Indian tribe, and I always like to tell this one first, because it's about a time when there were no stories. Long ago, there were no stories in the world. Life was really hard for the people, and the winter months were long and cold, and the wind blew hard against the longhouse door, and the snow was really high. One day, a boy about 8 years old, who was a very good hunter, shot three partridge. On his way back to the village through the snow, he got really tired and he decided to take a rest. So he sat down by a stone. The stone was shaped like a person's head. As the boy sat back, he heard a voice that seemed to tremble from within the middle of the earth. I shall now tell a story. What? What was that? The boy said. I shall now tell a story.
Is this the rock speaking?
Yes, I'm Grandfather Rock.
Well, tell it then.
First, you must give me something. So the boy lay one of the partridges on the rock. Then the great stone began to speak. It was a wonderful story. It was about when the earth was new and how it was created. As the boy listened, all the coldness seemed to melt away. When the great stone finished, the boy ran back to his village and gathered all of his family and friends into the longhouse, and he shared the story with them. And as they listened, all the coldness of the winter seemed to melt away. And that night, for the first time, all the people in the village slept peacefully, and they dreamed dreams of what life was like a long time ago. Well, this went on for some time. Each day, the boy would go back to the great stone during the winter months, and the great stone would tell the boy stories about when animals talk, about monsters, about important things, and the boy shared them with his family and friends. Well, one day, just as spring was about to come, the boy went back to the great stone, and the great stone didn't speak. I'm ready, Grandfather Rock. Please tell me your story. And Grandfather Rock spoke for the last time. I've told you all my stories. Now the stories are for you and your people to pass on, and to pass on to your children. Remember, where there are stories, there will be more stories. I have spoken, Nahu. And it was true. The stories were passed on. And to this day, the people gather in the longhouse to hear the storyteller. And they give thanks to the storyteller, just as the boy did to the great stone so long ago. Thank you. Whenever I have an opportunity to go to schools or libraries, I always tell everybody that each of us are a storyteller. If you get in the car in the afternoon and your mom or dad ask you, what'd you do at school today? It's the beginning of a story, a beginning and a middle and an end. And some of our stories are really old, and as they're passed down, they change and they're different versions. And this is an Indian story, and it's about how the Sundance came to be. And the Sundance is still performed out in Montana. And I like this story especially because it starts out with two sisters, and it reminds me of summer nights that I spent with my sister. And the name of the story is Star Boy. Two sisters went out under a summer sky and took their blankets to sleep. In the morning when they awoke to the brilliance of Morning Star. The eldest sister turned to the other and said, I love Morning Star. Morning Star is the only star that knows both day and night. I want Morning Star to be my husband. Later in the day, she went on the path to the river, and in her way stood a young man. Please, she said shyly, let me pass, for I do not know you. I am Morning Star, and I am your husband. The girl gazed upon him. He was the kindest, most handsome young man she had ever seen. We must go to my home in Sky World. And Morning Star took his painted robe and wrapped it around her.
and he held the juniper branch above her head with a spider's web. And Morning Star whispered softly to the spider's web, and he turned to the girl and said, "Close your eyes." And she did, and they rose up to Skyworld. When she opened her eyes, she stood before Morning Star's lodge. On one side was painted the sun, and the other the moon. "The sun and the moon are my parents," said Morning Star. And he proceeded to tell his parents how he had seen the girl sleeping in the flowers. Well, the sun and the moon were pleased. And the moon gave the girl a dress decorated with shells that glistened like a thousand stars. The girl was happy in Sky World, and soon a baby was born, and they called him Star Boy. And Star Boy and the girl spent many of their days going through the prairies in the sky, talking to the animals that lived there forever. Well, one day, the moon gave the girl a digging stick. Said, "You can dig up any plants that you see, but never dig up the plants with the pink flowers, for therein lies unhappiness for us all." Well, one day when she was digging up plants, she saw one with the pink flowers. She was curious, so she dug around and around, and finally she pulled it up. And there lay a hole in Skyworld. And through the hole in Skyworld, she looked down, and on Earth she could see her mother and father and her sister. Suddenly she was filled with a longing and a loneliness for her family, and she began to cry. When the moon heard her crying, she said, "Oh, daughter, I know you've broken your promise. Now there will be unhappiness for us all." Well, the sun was angry and sad at the same time. "Now your heart will always be in two places. You must go back to your family on Earth." And so the sun gave the girl an eagle plume for her hair, and the moon gave her the digging stick for her hand. And her husband, Morning Star, wrapped his wife and baby in his painted robe. And he lowered them through the hole in Skyworld with a spider's web. Well, on Earth, people thought they saw a bright star falling. And when they went to the place where the star lay, there they found the girl and Star Boy sleeping amongst the flowers. Well, it was true. The girl was never happy again on Earth after that. And it was not until she died that she returned to Skyworld. And there she lives today as Evening Star. But Star Boy was very young when his mother died, and he grew up with a mysterious scar on his cheek, and he was very poor, for he had no family, and he did not have fine clothes. But when he grew to be a young man, he fell in love with the beautiful daughter of the chief. But he knew he had nothing to offer her, and because his scar was so ugly, he was too ashamed to go to her and tell her the love that he had in his heart. But one day, as he saw she rejected each young man in the village, he got his courage up and he went to her. "You're the one I love. I want to marry you, but I have nothing to offer." "I am so glad you have asked," she said. "You have been on my heart also, and I love you. But you must go back to Skyworld, and you must get your grandfather, the sun's blessing." But I don't know the way to Skyworld," said Star Boy. "I don't know how to get there." "Take courage and try hard. You will find the way." So Star Boy went to the most wise men in the village. "Can you tell me the way to Skyworld?" But the wisest men did not know. So Star Boy turned to the animals, because the animals have a different kind of wisdom. And the elk said, "Go to the place where the sun sinks lowest each evening. There you will find the sun's lodge." So Star Boy headed out over mountains and hills. He traveled day and night. Finally, he came to the end of the land, and before him was a great body of water, and on it a moonlit path, and two loons appeared. "We will show you the way to the sun's lodge." And Star Boy followed the path, and in the morning he came to the sun's lodge. The sky was filled with such brilliance, and Star Boy was silhouetted against the sun. "Grandfather, I have traveled far to come to find you to get your blessing. I want to marry the chief's daughter, and I want forgiveness for my mother's actions in Star World. The son cradled his grandson's face in his hand. I will give you the one you love. You and your wife will have many children and will live many years together. And yes, I forgive your mother, for in forgiveness there is love. And with that, Starboy felt the scar fall from his face. And then the son said, but in return and in my honor, you must build a lodge. And each summer when I am at my highest peak and the lodge is built, I will restore all of your sick people to health. And with that, the sun left on his journey across the sky from east to west. And Starboy went down the rainbow back to the earth. And when he arrived, the people marveled. His scar was gone. He was dressed in fine clothes. And he and the chief's daughter were married. And they did live many years and have many children. And when Starboy died, he went back to Skyworld. And sometimes in the early morning, over the eastern horizon, you can see Starboy traveling with his father. Or late in the evening, you can see him traveling with his mother, Evening Star. And the people kept their promise. Each summer, when the sun is at its highest glory, the people build the Sundance Lodge. And it is round like the earth and sky. And it's held in the middle by the sacred tree, and it opens to the rising sun, just as the teepees do. And the people dance and sing and pray and give thanks to their creator and pray for their scars to be taken away and for them to be made whole again, just as Starboy was so many years ago. Thank you. Okay. This story is from the 40s. It's called Aaron's Dead, Part 2. And this version is called The Dancing Skeleton. We're not trying to scare you today, really. Aaron Kelly was dead. And there wasn't a thing anybody could do about it. Truth of the matter is, nobody much cared. Aaron Kelly had been so mean and ornery in his life. The folks were just about flat glad to see him go. Even his widow never shed a tear at the funeral. She just bought a coffin, put Aaron in it, and said, "Good riddance, Aaron Kelly." But that very night, Aaron Kelly got up out of the grave and walked home. His widow was just sitting in the parlor thinking how peaceful it was without Aaron Kelly around when he walked right through the front door. "Woman, what's all this? Why are you dressed in black? You look like somebody died." "Somebody did die," said the widow. "You did, Aaron Kelly. Now get back in that grave." "I ain't gonna get back in that grave. I don't feel dead. And if I don't feel dead, then I ain't dead. And I ain't getting back in that coffin." "You are dead," said the widow. "Get back in that coffin now." "As I said, woman, if I don't feel dead, then I ain't dead." Mean and ornery was he. Well, the widow didn't know what to do. She couldn't collect the insurance money if he wouldn't get back in the grave. And if she couldn't collect the insurance money, then she couldn't pay for the coffin. And if she couldn't pay for the coffin, then the undertaker would take it away. And if the undertaker took it away, then Aaron Kelly would never get back in that grave. Oh, well, I'll tell you what happened next. It's unbelievable. Aaron Kelly sat down in his favorite rocker and began to rock back and forth. Freak rock, freak rock, freak rock. Day after day, night after night, Aaron Kelly rocked. The widow tried to ignore him, but all that noise with such a clatter was pretty difficult. But one day she looked over, and Aaron Kelly had dried up. All that was left was a skeleton. Creak, crock, creak, crock. Well, one night, the best fiddler in town came to call. He had heard Aaron Kelly was dead, and he thought about marrying that woman. Well, the widow and the fiddler sat cozy-like on the bench.
And across from them sat Aaron, just a staring and a grinning and a rocking away. The fiddler said, "Woman, I can't court you proper with him sitting there staring at me like that. When are you going to get rid of that bag of bones?" The widow said, "I don't know what to do. Well, what should we do?" Well, the fiddler shrugged. The widow sighed. The clock ticked. And Aaron rocked. Rock, rock, rock. Well, finally, Aaron had had just about enough of this. He said, "Fiddler, get out that fiddle and play us a tune." So the fiddler got out his fiddle. He played the sweetest song. Well, this was all too much for Aaron. He got up out of his rocker, he stretched, cracked his knuckles, and he began to dance. With his toes a-tapping and his feet a-flapping, his finger bones snapping and his arm bones a-clapping, ooh-wee! How that dead man could dance. Well, as the music got louder, Aaron's dancing grew wilder, and pretty soon, boo-clatter! One of his bones fell on the floor. The fiddler said, "Woman, look at that. He's falling apart." And the widow said, "Play faster." And so the fiddler hung on to that fiddle. He played a tune that made the bedbugs hop, the popcorn pop, and the rocks get up and dance. Ooh-wee! Aaron was dancing his fool head off. In fact, pretty soon, Aaron's bones were flopping and a-dropping till they lay in a pile still on the floor. And on top was that old bald head bone, and the big yellow teeth snapped. Oh, wait, ain't we having fun? Well, this was all too much for the fiddler. The fiddler dropped that fiddle on the floor, ran out the front door and said, "Woman, I'm getting out of here." Well, the widow picked up all of Aaron's bones. She carried him back to the graveyard. She mixed them all up in the coffin so he couldn't put himself